U.S. Special Forces soldiers have a unique view of the war in Iraq. They travel in small groups, working with Iraqis or attacking difficult targets. Reporter Linda Robinson spent a lot of time with them. She's a writer for U.S. News & World Report and the author of a book on Special Forces. She traveled with them last summer in Iraq. She also traveled as an embedded reporter with Special Forces during the initial invasion. Robinson watched in 2003 as a small American team reached an unsettled Iraqi town.
Instantly, this team knew something was up. They smelled it, and it turned out this tribe had come into a village and taken over and begun confiscating weapons, confiscating cars, confiscating money. And so they took apart the tribe that had come in.
Took apart meaning these just 12 guys, town full of Iraqis, and they're giving orders and telling them what to do.
Right. They were intimidating enough that they scared the daylights out of these guys, but not one shot had to be fired. And that's what you find over and over again, is they can solve these problems without pulling the trigger once.
So small numbers of Special Forces troops were in all parts of the country doing a variety of missions during the initial invasion. How did the role of Special Forces change as the war changed?
Well, the original plan was to use the Iraqi military to provide security and begin working with them. But then the order came down, we're going to debathify, we're going to take apart the military. So then the mission kind of shifted, and there was a rotation out. New, fresh Special Forces teams came in, and by the time the insurgency began in the summer, well, that became their mission, was to try to get inside these networks.
You've already said something that's rather compelling to me, because you said that there was a plan and there were people trained and prepared to work with the local police, the Iraqi military, to keep order. And then a very controversial decision was made to disarm. What did these soldiers say when they learned that the plan had changed?
Well, like all soldiers, they follow orders. But I think what's become clear in the aftermath is that if you're fighting a war, you must immediately prepare to use whatever infrastructure is there unless you're prepared to have a massive occupation.
How are those teams gathering intelligence?
By talking to Iraqis, fundamentally.
A lot of Arabic speakers among these Americans?
Yes, you usually, because obviously Arabic is a pretty difficult language to learn. You will have a couple of people on the team that are really fluent. They land on the ground with a certain amount of knowledge about who's who. Who's the guy they have to go, and they call it a goat grab, but they go and eat goat and rice with these guys and develop a relationship. You start with one clan, you forge your ties, and these people really help them understand what's going on in a given place.
When you were there over the summer and you found U.S. Special Forces troops in the midst of this insurgency, did they have the right skills and the right mindset?
No, this is, I think, very much what they are trained to do. I saw in a couple of occasions they actually, just while I was there, found the houses where they were manufacturing the vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices. You know, they really can track this network at a pretty minute level. The problem is if you keep feeding the source of the conflict and not putting these people to work, you know, you don't have the hearts and minds thing going on very aggressively. And they really have to work on that end of it, whether it's getting people involved in the local government, rebuilding this Iraqi force to provide their own security.
Linda Robinson is the author of Masters of Chaos, which is a book about the U.S. military special forces. Thanks very much.
Thank you.